So as Chris mentioned, we're finishing our series today called Fear Less. And so I was on vacation the last two Sundays, and didn't Pastor Nick do a great job in those messages? Yeah. We have such great teachers and staff here at Pantano, and that makes it great for me to go away because I didn't have to fear about anything going wrong, because we got such great folks here. And the reason why we're doing this series is that fear is a normal part of life. But sometimes, and we all have experienced this, fear wants to run our lives. And when fear runs our life, it ruins our lives. And so that's why we wanted to look at this much more carefully. And Nick reminded us the last 2 weeks that when fear and something related to fear, very closely, worry, shows up, that's when we need to lean on and rely on God and trust in God even more, because He will never fail us. He'll never forsake us. He's our hope to get through those issues of the things that we're afraid of. Now, most of our fears are outside of us, meaning that these are the fears that we're afraid maybe for harm that might come to the people we love, or maybe even we're concerned about those situations or events that could possibly hurt us, cause us pain, loss, could harm us in some way. And so we look at those situations and those events, and some of those are real, some of those are imagined. Right? I mean, a lot of things that we are afraid of never actually come to pass, but they're out there, and they're sort of out there outside of us, and then they kind of try to work their way to into us to cause fear. What I want to talk about is a little bit of different kind of fear today. It's a fear that's primarily inside of us. I describe it like this silent cancer that's inside that just begins to eat away at our lives from the inside out. It's sort of hidden. It's especially hidden with guys. We don't want others to see this kind of fear in our lives. This fear is very personal. This fear is about me. It's about you. It's the fear that we actually fear the most, I think. This monster fear can rob us of joy and happiness. It can just continue to eat away and try to destroy life, the life that God wants for us. It can try to take that away from us. And let me illustrate it. I've had this fear several different times here at our church, because I have, there's just been these times when I felt this incredible weight and responsibility for being the lead pastor of our church. I love our church. I care deeply about our church. God is using our church to make a real difference here in Tucson and in places around the world. On an average weekend, there's 2,500 folks that are a part of this. We have a large staff, and we have an incredible property here, and all of that can just feel like a burden, and the weight and the responsibility of that can really become oppressive. And what's happened at times is that's turned into fear. And here's how that plays out. It's because I care so deeply that this fear now begins to create in me a self-doubt. Can I lead this church? Do I have what it takes? I begin to second guess myself. You know, am I going to be able to pull this off? You know, am I the right one? And when I start asking those questions, which are based on fear, then it robs me of my passion, my vision, even my trust in God. It can even eat away at that if I allow it to. And it's very real. And I realize that this is a monster, this monster fear that can either kill me or I'm going to kill it. And it's that serious. This monster fear has a lot of names: self-doubt, shame, insecurity. I feel unworthy. Even can be in the context of, I feel like I'm going to be abandoned. I'm unloved. I'm unlovable. Lots of different words. Common to all of whatever label, whatever words we use, common to all that is this fear of rejection. We have this fear of being rejected. I won't be good enough. I won't look good enough. I don't belong. If people really knew who I was, they'd be done with me. Right? You thought that. I'm not important. I'm not needed. I'm not wanted. I'm not valued. I'm not the right one with the right stuff. It takes lots of those different forms, but it's ultimately this fear of rejection. Now, that self-doubt, that fear, it's ultimately based on lies. It's ultimately based on lies. And when we encounter something that's hurting us because it's a lie, it's not really true, then we have to go to the one who we know will always speak the truth to us. There is only one that we can trust perfectly to speak the truth to us, a truth that we never have to question, and his name is our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's his word that tells us the truth. So we always go back to this. So take your Bibles, if you have one, turn on your device. If you don't have one, take the Bibles in the seats in front of you, and I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And that's page 573 in the Bibles on the seat in front of you. We're going to look at the truth that God says that helps us begin to realize how we deal with this fear of rejection. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 13. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. God, speaking through his beloved apostle John, writes these words. This is how we know. I want to pause there. This is how we know. Absolute fact. Confidence, truth. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. We live in God. God lives in us. He has given us his spirit. That's how we know. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his son, Jesus, to be the savior of the world. Verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And then verse 16, I love this. And we know, not hope, not guess, we know. And we know and rely on the love God has for us. You see, our faith is really based on facts, truth. Now, there are times that people say, you know, faith is blind, and I get why people talk about it that way, but the reality is a real, healthy, strong faith is always based on truth. It's based on facts, and we have a couple critical facts here that will actually build our faith, and here's the way this works, is that when we really trust the facts, then God grows our faith, and we can begin to deal with our fear, and the facts are really clear here. Two things. God, who is spirit, lives in us. The Holy Spirit, the very being of God, is living in us. If we've accepted the fact that Jesus is his son and we've invited him into our lives, then God, the very Spirit of God, lives in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. That's one incredible truth. And so that fact alone is that we are never alone. We're never abandoned. Secondly, we know and rely, verse 16, on the love God has for us. We know it. We rely on it. And these are two indisputable facts that build our faith. And so here's how it works. Spiritual facts, the truth, builds our faith, and then that faith helps us overcome fear, especially the fear of rejection. And so let's just do a little spiritual math. I was terrible at math. And so you can pick this apart, and God bless you math teachers who actually understand that. But this is my spiritual version of this. So here's God's math. Facts. There are facts about who God is and the reality of how he sees us and how he relates to us. And those facts build and create our faith. And when our faith is built on the truth of who God says he is and who we are and our relationship with him, that he lives in us, he's for us, he loves us, then that builds our faith, and our faith is what overcomes fear. That's how we overcome fear. Ultimately, that's the only real solution to overcoming fear, especially this fear of rejection. We become fearless when our faith becomes greater. When we truly believe that God is for us, That God is with us, that he's not going to abandon us. And that helps us overcome our fear. Now, let's continue, because John doesn't stop there. I don't know why they do this when the Bible comes from God, but then human beings put verses in. And they split these right in half. So we finished on verse 16, but that's 16, the first part. Now we pick up verse 16, the second part. Notice how he says there, God is love. Remember verse 16 says, and we know and rely on the love of God. Why? Because God is love. Whoops, I just lost my page. And then he continues, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. Think about that, by the way. Jesus didn't have fear, because he knew his Father absolutely loved him and wouldn't reject him or neglect him. He had that confidence. And so John just reminds us of this, that we're going to be like Jesus, and there is no fear in love, but perfect love, complete love, drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears, though, is not made perfect in love. Let's look at that. We don't have to be afraid. Why? Because God is love. That is the most complete and the most simple description of God. When you cut through all the complexities that we make about God, when you come right down to it, God is love. That's who he is. And because God is love, and because he loves us, then our faith can be strong and overcome fear. And so that's why he says we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of God. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of what others think about us. We don't have to be afraid. That's just absolutely clear. But then he goes, and here's why. Because really getting the complete love of God, if God is fully in us and God's love is fully in us, then we don't have to be afraid of punishment. We don't have to be afraid of God rejecting us. You see, the idea of punishment is really about rejection. We don't have to be afraid of God rejecting us. And even if others reject us, it doesn't really matter, because the one that matters is God, and he's not going to reject us. And so we don't have to be afraid. And that complete love drives out fear. God's love, God's commitment to us is all that matters. And John puts that last phrase in there. And he says, look at it again. He says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. You see, it's just a warning. It's like a test. If you are being dominated by fear, the answer is that you really haven't allowed God to fill you with his love. You haven't believed it. You haven't trusted in it. You haven't really embraced how complete and full his love is for you. And so here's the point of my message. Here's what I want us to get, that we can apply and we can live by. Exchange your doubt, your self-doubt, with the fact that you are fully loved by God. Exchange this fear of rejection that results in this self-doubt. Exchange that. Make a conscious choice to put that away and rest our faith on the fact that we are fully loved by God. We get rid of the self-doubt that's created by the lie. And that lie is that we're a disappointment to God. That we're on shaky ground with God. If you don't get these things, enough things right, God's gonna pull away from you. Now, the fact is, others may do that. People may do that, but God won't. God's not going to give up on us. And so the challenge that we have is, how do we truly embrace the completeness of God's love, that we are fully loved by God? And so we refuse to believe and live in the lie and therefore in fear, And we choose to believe the truth, the facts that God is absolutely wild and crazy about us. The lies from the devil will always sound like this. And there'll be more than these, but they'll sound like this. You're not good enough. You're not worthy. You don't belong. You don't measure up. Those are the messages that are going to come from the evil one, sometimes through people, sometimes through circumstances. And the question is, are we going to listen to those messages? Are we going to listen to those voices? Are we going to listen to those lies that we don't belong, that we're not worthy, that we don't measure up? And are we going to let that overshadow who God says we are? And what does God say to us? He says in every way that I love you and that you belong and that you mean something to me. And it's coming to this place where we know that God loves me so much that actually is enough. That God's love is so big and so pure and so perfect and so all-encompassing that is enough. That's what I need. That's what I build my faith on. And I stop listening to those lies and the self-doubt and that robs me of the life that God wants me to have. It was 2006, the year before I became lead pastor here. I'd been at Pantano for a number of years. Pastor Tim, some of you know, we made a transition in 2007. So in 2006, I thought, you know, before I assume the role of lead pastor, I want to make sure there are no blind spots, you know, some things in my life that could really trip me up and therefore hurt our church. And so Jolene and I, we found out this group that does incredible work. They're based out of Texas. And so what we did is that we did 40 hours of pre-work, both of us, sending them all kinds of information and surveys and tests and phone interviews and everything, 40 hours of work. And then we went to Texas to a bed and breakfast for 4 days, and we met with three professionals. One was a counselor, a Christian counselor, one was a pastor, and one was a spiritual director. And by the time we got to this bed and breakfast, they knew everything about us. I mean, we were shocked at how much they understood us before even having met us. And so for 4 days, we met with all of these different people. And the first day, the first person we met with was the counselor. And so when we met down, you know, he did his initial greetings. And then he said, I want to give both of you a name. Go, okay. And so he says, I started with me. He said, Glenn, the name that I'm going to give you is Stormtrooper. And I went, yes, I like this guy. Stormtrooper. He says, you will work through your fear and you will take the hill. And I go, yes. Thank you, God. I'm so glad I came. And then he spoke to Jolene. And I have permission to share this. Jolene's here, my wife, and she said, I'm going to give you the name Sherpa. You're going, what's that? Sherpa is the name of a people group. They live in the Tibet, the mountains of Tibet. Sherpas are the elite expert mountaineers in all the world. Anybody who's climbing in the Himalayas and trying to get to, especially to Mount Everest, they rely on Sherpas to get there. The Sherpas guide the way and they carry all the equipment and all the food and everything that's necessary to make that trek. You can't do it without the Sherpas. In fact, it's interesting, research has shown that the Sherpa people who live in these high mountains, they've actually genetically modified to adapt to this high elevation kind of living. They're incredible. And they make it possible for people to get to the top. People wouldn't get to the top without them. And what he was saying to my wife in a very kind way is that you carry the burdens of others and help them get to the top. You're a servant. Now I'm listening to this and I'm going, this is perfect. I'm the stormtrooper who has to take the hill. And she's a Sherpa. I go, yay, thank you, God. You worked this out perfectly. This is perfect for me. We met later with the counselor. And he again affirmed Jolene as being able to serve others and to help others become better. But then he said this. He said, but you need to have a voice. He said to my wife, you have something to say. So that Jillian had had a number of people in her life, including me, who are very strong personalities. And there were times that it was really hard for her to share her thoughts, her ideas, her opinions with these strong personalities. You see, like all of us, she had allowed fear to keep her silent. And so what the counselor did is he said, I want to give you your full name. Sherp is only half of your name. And he said, the name that I want to give you is Lion-Hearted Sherpa. He said, I want you to have a lion's heart who speaks up, who says what the thoughts that you have, the opinions you have. God has given you things that people need to hear. And yes, you continue to be the Sherpa, continue to serve people and help carry people's burdens, but you've got to be willing to speak up. Now, it's not been easy for my wife because of fear. She feared some of those strong personalities and including myself who could just you know, smash their ideas down with our strong personalities. Not that we wanted to, but it happens. And so she had to really trust in God to be able to have that courage to be that lioness. And I'll tell you, the first time the lion-hearted Sherpa spoke, I was surprised. I go, whoa, who is this? But you know what? I really like it. It's incredible. And I love this lion-hearted part of her Sherpa-ness. See, we allow the fear of rejection to rob us of the life that God wants. This fear of rejection, I think, destroys more dreams than anything else. This fear of rejection keeps us from living life to the full. Again, the very thing that Jesus desires for us, that we live life to the full. We, because of this fear, we'll hold back and not say something that we need to say, or we'll hold back and not take a risk that we need to take. And the biggest part of that is that we'll allow this fear to keep us from saying the things that God wants us to say, or we'll let this fear keep us from doing the things that God wants us to do. And so we have to silence that voice that's inside of us, those thoughts that are inside of us that create this fear. We have to question, where does that voice come from? Where do those messages come from? There was a season when I listened to that voice of self-doubt for 2 solid years. It just never stopped. Week after week, I would hear those messages that I was a failing leader, that I had no business leading our church. And they, just to be clear, they weren't actual voices, but they were very clear thoughts that were there. They were the thoughts that you can't do this. You're not the right one. This church needs somebody else. Now, remember my name from the counselor, the half of my name was Stormtrooper. You're wondering, what's the other half? The other half was limping. Limping Stormtrooper. Not exactly what I had in mind. And what he meant by the limping is, you will take the hill, but you need to learn to need others to help you take the hill. You need to be limping and let others join with you and help you. And so I was stuck in this self-doubt for 2 years, and I knew I needed to get help. I tried everything. I couldn't get rid of the thoughts and the messages. I had to kill this monster fear. And so I went to a spiritual counselor, a guy that was a pastor and a counselor, an incredible man, had a great reputation, and I knew I needed help. And after we had several conversations, he taught me this principle. This is what I've been sharing with you. The principle is simply this: we exchange our self-doubt with the fact that we're fully loved by God. I had to learn to exchange the self-doubt and live my life, put my absolute trust on the fact that God absolutely loves me completely and fully. And that means that it's a choice that we make, that we quit listening to the lies. We quit listening to the things that are not true, that create that self-doubt. And then we grow our faith continually listening to the words that are true. And so for me to do that, what I ended up doing with guidance from this counselor was I wrote a letter. I wrote it as a letter from as God writing to me. So it begins, "Dear Glenn," as if God were writing this, and probably a quarter of it are some of the thoughts that came up with my conversation with the counselor. But the bulk of it was just scripture. And I would read this letter every day, sometimes twice a day, morning and night, for months, until those thoughts began to be eliminated from my mind. And I needed to read the truth about who God is and who I am to God and how he relates to me. And I had to keep reading it over and over to replace the lies with what is in fact the absolute truth. That truth is that God loves me. And if I'm in Christ, he loves me completely. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or conditions. In Christ, he can't love me any more than he already does. In fact, he's wild about me and he's wild about you. His love is full and complete. There's nothing we can do good that's going to make him love us more. And there's nothing we can do bad that's going to make him stop loving us. That's how much he loves us. And so we've got to watch those words that are in fact lies, that tell us that we're not cutting it, we're not going to measure up, we're not going to make it, and we listen in faith to the truth of God who says, "You're a fully loved child of mine. You belong to me." We listen to the words that say, "You know what? I matter to God. My words matter to God. My life matters to God. And that God has a purpose for me." And that's what we begin to listen to and to believe. So how do we go about exchanging that self-doubt, that fear that's based on rejection, and replace it with that absolute confidence, the fact that God fully loves us? Let me just suggest a couple things. One of the things that I suggest is that we constantly go back to the source of truth. For example, I would encourage you, if you're struggling with this fear of rejection, if those messages of self-doubt are strong within you, then read passages like we just read, 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And not just read it once, but take those verses and read it over and over and over, day after day, for as long as you need to. And there are other scriptures as well that have that same message, that remind us that we don't have to be afraid, because God absolutely loves us and he's not going to give up on us. And so we replace those lies with the truth. And so we read it and we reflect on it. Maybe it's helpful for you to journal on it. We've got journals out in our guest services. If you don't have a Bible to read it, take one of the Bibles in the seats in front of you. We'd love for you to have that. Take it and read it over and over. Let those words, that scripture and other scriptures, actually help you create and form how you pray. It's an incredibly powerful way that where we begin to replace those untrue messages with the truth that God says. Now, the other thing that'll help is this. The Bible is absolutely clear that Jesus came to bring what's called the gospel. Now, what does gospel mean? The word gospel literally means good news. Jesus came to bring good news. Jesus came to bring good news to sinners who live in fear, which is probably most of us. Now, to be fair, Jesus is bad news to one group of people: the ultra-religious hypocrites who are arrogant. Okay, he wasn't such good news to them. But to the rest of us, Jesus is good news. And so we have to ask this really simple question. When these messages come into our brain, are they good news or bad news? Because only God will tell us the good news. The bad news comes from the evil one, and we have to sort that out. We have to say, am I going to listen to the truth of who God is, bringing good news, or am I going to listen to the lie, which is always bad news? And so then we begin to frame it this way. If that's true, then why would I say to myself, or why would I listen to something inside of me that's not true, that God would never say to me? Take it another step. Why would I even consider saying to myself what I would never say to somebody else that I love? I would never think of saying some of the things that I listened to in my own head and said to myself. I would never think of saying those things to people I love. And even more, God would never say those things to me. So why do I even entertain those? That's a critical little tool that helps me say, you know what, I don't have to listen to this because it's not true. Yes, a person may say it, and that person out there may believe it. The circumstance might create this, but the fact is that's not what God is saying to me. That's not what God is saying about me. Here's one of the parts of this letter. I'm not going to read all of it. Like I said, I had it laminated so I could read it day after day all the time, and here's one of the paragraphs. Remember, this is God speaking to me. So refuse to listen to the harsh, critical voices of condemnation, whether internal or external. And then I quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. For we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. You see, what is that saying? That we refuse to listen to all the arguments and pretense that sets itself up against the truth about who God is and what God has said. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Jesus, is this what you say about me? Is this true about who I am? Every thought we give to him and let him process that. We process it with him so that's how we begin to make this great exchange. So here's my challenge. Exchange your self-doubt with the fact that you are fully loved by God. Fully loved by God. Exchange your fear. Exchange your anxiety. Exchange your self-doubt and trust the fact that God is for you. He is with you. He will never reject you. He will never abandon you. He'll never forsake you. And that's how we fear less. I'm going to ask our servers to prepare for communion and offering. And as they do, I want to remind you why we do communion every week. We do communion every week because Jesus asked us to remind ourselves this truth. That God so loved us that he was willing to send his very own son to die for us. The communion, the cup of juice, the piece of bread, remind us of God's incredible, deep, profound love, complete love. He held nothing back. He sent Jesus to the cross who died for our sins. His blood was shed. His body was broken for the forgiveness of our sins and to communicate in the most clear way how much God loves us. And that's what we remember at this time. And so if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, we invite you to participate. The servers will pass the communion tray and take the cup of juice, the piece of bread, pass it to the next person. And as you hold that, let that remind you of how deep God's love is. And embrace that. And refuse to believe the lies that the evil one wants to tell you about yourself and about your relationship with God. Then after communion, we're going to take an offering, and Pastor Brian's going to come out and explain how we're going to do our offering and what's involved with our offering this week. So let's pray together now. God, we cannot thank you enough that you've loved us fully. And so God, help us to hear that. Help us to believe that. build our faith. We're asking the Holy Spirit that you've given to us to remind us of how deep and profound that love is. And let that silence all the other lies. In Jesus' name, amen.